Well, hi, this is Steve Hall, and I'm here with my very close brother in the Lord and colleague at Tulsa Plains High School, Chris Hollinghead. Chris is an English teacher who teaches right across the hall from me at Tulsa Plains High School, and we've had some great fellowship through the years. He's also the youth pastor at Fairview Baptist Church over at Sweetwater, Tennessee. And Chris came up with an idea some time ago. I believe the Lord gave it to him, that we ought to try doing a joint podcast. We both just recently begun podcasting some, and he said we ought to try to do one together on some topic that might encourage you to grow in the Lord, to get strong in the Lord. So this is our first attempt here today, and what we decided to do is talk about, just kind of have a conversation about the general topic of Bible study, why it's important, maybe why we don't do more of it. And later on, if this seems to work, we may have a follow-up conversation to discuss some ideas, some suggestions, some tips for more effective Bible study. And so, brother, I'm looking forward to the conversation with you today.
Well, Steve, I am too. I'm excited about this. I know we've had lots of fun in the days leading up to this and joking about who's going to say what. And, yeah, this would be a good time for you to...
Yeah, this is where I'm supposed to say, hey, that's enough. You said enough. Yeah. I'll take it from here.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that.
We've had lots of fun, and it's been a blast just anticipating this, but on a serious note, I really am truly honored to be here, and I'm excited about what we're talking about because I believe this is a super important topic, and I'm going to let you...
Well, why don't we start right there? You know, let's talk about that very topic. We're here because we believe Bible study is important, or we wouldn't even be doing this thing.
Exactly.
And so if you were going to, you know, if somebody were to say to you, well, what's the big deal? Why is it so important? You know, I mean, I go to church, and maybe I get all I feel like I need at church or Sunday school. How would you respond to them? What would you say as far as why is it so important?
Well, I mean, you know, we could spend days and months and forever talking about the importance of the Bible itself, the Word of God, and why it's important to know Him deeper and know Him more and study in His Word. But I think I'll try to limit this down to just a few points of why I think the big reasons that Bible study is important and the Word is important, because I do want to leave some time for you to say something. Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't mind.
You will. But I do have about six things that I believe are really important reasons for why Scripture is important and studying that Scripture. And the first one is, well, it's important to God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a big deal to God. He said the Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 2, David said, "You have exalted above all things your name and your word."
Yes.
And so it's kind of a big deal. Mm. You know, we like to say that when we've accomplished something, you know, I'm a kind of a big deal. Mm. Well, the word is kind of a big deal. It's super important to God. And I just believe that if something is important to God, it needs to be important to us.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, we pray many times, you've heard this prayer probably, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Mm. We want to be in tune with what God is not pleased with. We want to be in tune with what God is concerned about. And so we need to be rejoicing with what God rejoices about.
Yes.
And He is very, very excited about His Word and what it can do for us. And so since it's important to God, I think it should be important to us.
Yeah, anything that God's excited about, I better be excited
about.
That's right. Something I'm on the wrong page somehow. If I'm not excited about what God's not excited about.
Yeah, there's a problem somewhere. The indicator light has come on.
Yep, that's good.
If you're not excited about the Word and about getting into it.
Well, you know, I think about, it's sort of the same idea, but you know, this is the way that God has said, I'm going to communicate with you. You know, I mean, I think of you as my friend, and I like hanging out with you, and we have some conversations. But if I say, now, Chris, I enjoy hanging out with you, but I'm going to do all the talking, okay? And if you start to say something, I'm going to say, shut up. I'll take care of this. I can handle this conversation. Somehow that doesn't sound like a very good friendship. You know, that doesn't sound like the kind of communication we need to have. And God says we can talk to Him all we want to, and I think there are a lot of people who really do spend quite a bit of time in prayer. They're pouring out their hearts to God. They're talking to God through the day. They're asking God for help. They're asking God for wisdom. But God says, hey, I want to talk to you too. You know, this is a two-way street here. We're friends, and I'm the creator God of the universe. And I've created you, and I want to communicate with you, and this is how I've chosen to do it.
Well, and I believe the majority of Christians, people who say that they're a Christian, if you ask them this question, if you ask them, do you want to know God better? I think, you know, vast majority, everyone should say, oh yeah, yeah, I want to know God deeper. I want to know Him more. That's more important than to me than anything. But so many of those same people who say that, they don't get in the discipline of Bible study, where the Bible is the actual word that God is speaking to them. Yeah. It's how you know Him deeper. Yes. And I thought, as you were speaking, I thought about an engagement with your soon-to-be spouse. When you and Vicky set a date, the day that you set a date that you would be married, I'm pretty sure that you didn't say, well, we've set the date. I'll see you on that wedding day. There's no need in us talking between now and then. Well, I'll see you there. That makes no sense.
It's crazy. Yeah.
You continue to grow deeper, anticipating what's to come. Yeah. And in the Word, we have that. Yeah. And so many times we defend the closed Bible, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the Bible. Let's get it in schools. Let's defend it. Mm-hmm. But so many of those same people don't open that book.
Well, you used a key word there a few seconds ago that I think is huge, and the word was discipline. It takes discipline, and I guess we're moving now into why we don't do more of it, but it takes discipline. I'm afraid there's a tendency for many, many Christians, maybe they've had formed some bad habits through the years, and we've learned to be a little bit undisciplined and yet get by. And it does take some discipline. You know, it's fairly easy for me to pray. It doesn't take a lot of discipline to pray. There's spiritual warfare there. I know we get attacked and prayer gets resisted. But if I just sit down and decide to pray, I can just pour out my mind, pour out my heart, say that everything's in my thoughts. I can speak it to God. But Bible study is a little bit different. I've got to decide what I'm going to study, how I'm going to study it, when I'm going to study, where I'm going to study, and discipline myself to get into it. And especially people who may think of themselves, well, I'm not a very good reader, or I'm not very good at study, or I never was very good at school, so this is not really my thing. And they'll maybe think, well, maybe God will just kind of answer my prayers and speak to me through my heart and through my mind. And I think that can be kind of dangerous. I mean, you know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, and if you get an idea that there's something that God is saying to you or something that God wants you to do, and it does not align with Scripture, it's not from God, because He will not change what His Word is. But yeah, the discipline issue, we don't like discipline. We don't even like the sound of that word, do we?
Yeah.
How many New Year's resolutions are made to get in shape in this year, and how many of those same resolutions are broken before the first month's up? Because we get all fired up about the result. I mean, everybody that you talk to that's a Christian would love to say, you know, I would love to really know Scripture. But we're not in love, and we're not fired up with the idea of actually getting down in those trenches and doing the work.
And I think part of that problem comes from because we've also grown accustomed to wanting results very quickly. We want instant results, you know, so we have our microwaves and all the rest of the stuff, you know, our phones, that we can see the news and weather instantly, we can talk to each other instantly, all that stuff. And yet, you know, God compares His Word to eating. You know, we talk about having a hunger for the Word, and we need to talk about how you get that hunger, but the point I'm trying to make right now is you can sit down and eat a meal and get up and feel satisfied, and yet next day you say, well, that didn't make much difference. I mean, I ate, but big deal. I mean, you know, and it can be that way with Bible study. You can say, well, I studied the Bible this morning, but I don't see much difference. The difference comes over the years. I mean, you eat the Bible just like you eat your physical food, and over the years, God nourishes you, strengthens you, you get stronger, you learn His promises, you learn His commands, you learn how God thinks, you learn what God is like, and one day you realize, whoa, God's made me stronger in Him than I used to be. And but it didn't happen overnight. It took a long time. And if we're thinking, I want something fast, we may read the Bible once or twice and say, this is not working for me.
Yeah. And a lot of people, a lot of times, how many times have we done this? We depend on our pastor or our Sunday school teacher to feed us, to give us the Word. And many times, churchgoers will go weeks at a time only spiritually eating and feeding on the Word maybe three times a week. Yeah. Now, if we ate only three meals a week physically, we would be sick.
Be sick, yeah.
And I can't help but believe if we only feed spiritually in His Word three times a week, we're going to be spiritually unhealthy too.
Yeah. Yeah, who was it? Was it Job in the Bible that said, I see your word is more than my necessary food? It's like he valued God's word more than he did his physical food. And boy, we got that one backwards, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to mention one other thing that I think may be a reason why some people don't have an appetite for the Scripture. You know, let's suppose you and I went to a restaurant to eat a meal, and we've got another guy with us, and he slumps over the table dead. And we might sit there and say, well, boy, he's not eating much. He doesn't seem to have an appetite. Because dead guys don't have appetites anymore. They're not hungry. And I think there's a possibility that a lot of people, just because they've gone to church and just because they've been baptized and just because they've called themselves a Christian for many years, they may be spiritually dead. And so we can fuss at them and try to whip them into having an appetite. But if you're dead, it's just not going to happen. You know.
That is such a good point. Yeah, you can't make someone see the need that has never met the one who's speaking that.
Yeah. So I think that's why God says in His Word for all of us, you know, to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And I think maybe right now is a good time for some people who might be listening to this to say, well, Lord, am I? Am I in the faith? And the test for that is not, can you remember a time when you got emotional? Can you remember a time when you said a prayer? Or can you remember a time when you were in VBS and you went forward and got baptized or whatever? That's not the issue. The issue is, what is my attitude right now toward Jesus? And is my life all about Jesus? Or is it all about something else?
Yeah, and you know, we're not advocating that one can lose their salvation, but the true test, the biblical test, if you are a true follower of His, is right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is your devotion to? What's your life about?
Yeah, and I
agree so much. So I, you know, we talked about my first point here. It's important to God, so it should be important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing that I have down, and maybe you can enlighten us on this point also, is it's for let's move to the Christian now.
Mm-hmm.
Why Bible study is important to the Christian? Well, first of all, it is how we met God in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That should be, we should be so in love with it because through it, we met our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
We met our Creator and we had a salvation gained through the Word. And someone listening might be saying, no, wait a minute. I accepted Christ because my grandmother shared with me the Scripture. Or I accepted Christ because my mom was talking to me or my dad was talking to me. But I would say this, where did they get that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may not have been a Bible in the room when you accepted Christ. But if it's the true gospel and it's real salvation,
it came from
Scripture. No man can come up with that. No man can initiate that.
Mm-hmm.
It has its foundation in Scripture. So it's how we met God in the first place. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing." You know, just like we talked about a few minutes ago, it's hard to get someone, you know, they might ridicule you. They might think, that's so silly, there's no need in doing it, you're wasting your time, because they don't know Him.
Mm-hmm.
They're not believers. And it says, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God."
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful, which leads to my next one. I may be getting a little ahead of myself, but it's powerful. But it's how we first met God. And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you talk about how much of a factor do you think it is that some Christians kind of look around at other Christians, or at least they're supposed to be Christians. You know, they go to church, they call themselves Christians. And they realize, man, they don't seem to be all that gung-ho about it, so maybe this is kind of the normal Christian life. Do you think that happens?
I think it happens way too often. It's a big problem. And it's almost as if the lost person, the non-Christian, so many times, they want to look at, Well, they'll only look at someone else's life and say, well, I'm better than they are. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing what they are, so I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And God's going to be okay with me. Mm-hmm. I think if we don't watch that same mindset, it creeps into our Christian life. Mm-hmm. And so the disciplines, mm-hmm. we see, well, you know, that person's not doing it. Mm-hmm. And they're Christian. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And if we don't watch, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I think so. And it's true all across the board, you know, whether we're talking about reading the Bible or memorizing Bible verses or sharing our faith, you know, with, well, I'm doing about as much as anybody else is doing. And so we kind of satisfy ourselves. Well, I guess it's okay. Surely if they're okay, I'm okay. Let me ask one other thing that we haven't talked about yet. What do you think the role of spiritual, what we call spiritual warfare, what do you think? Do you think that's a factor in this thing?
Yeah, definitely. And it's a very real battle. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, it says, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things from your word. And that's what we need to pray that. Mm-hmm. Lord, open our eyes to see not only what you want to show us from your word, but one of those things is that there's a very real battle. Yeah. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. Mm-hmm. And so many of us just walk right on, mm-hmm. through life and never really notice what's, yeah. going on.
Yeah, Mickey Witt has been doing some stuff on the Screwtape Letters.
Yes,
and that gives a beautiful picture of the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in, and it just seems that Satan is really good at kind of whispering to us, "You're okay. Don't worry about this. You know, you got other things, other priorities," and nobody else is doing it either. And that spiritual warfare, those little whispers come through, and like you said, God wants us to do some heavy-duty warfare event, which includes praying, Lord, open my eyes. Don't let me be blinded by my enemies here. But don't let me be deceived and lulled to sleep. It's just...
Isn't it funny how Satan never says, look at this person who's really growing, mm-hmm. really deep,
yeah.
in the Word.
Yeah, Satan will say, he's a little bit radical, isn't he?
I mean, weirdo.
Kind of off the deep, yeah. end, yeah.
You want everybody to go around you and point and yell, unclean, you know?
Yeah.
He's a weirdo. We want him away from us.
Yeah, let's be more normal here. Let's not be so radical.
And the people who look, you know, they want to look, I'm okay, look at this person. They never look at that person. That's really on fire for the Lord.
You're right. Yeah, they look at him as kind of strange. Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
And we'll even say, well, sooner or later, he'll cool down. Oh, he'll get it. He'll get over it. You know?
He's just a new Christian, you know? Yeah. He's not. He doesn't know as much as I do yet.
Well, one other thing I'd like to bring up, and it relates to the spiritual warfare thing, and that is that Satan and his demons give us lots of other substitutes. What would you list if someone were to say, okay, what's getting in the way, practically speaking? What is it that people consume their time and energy doing that takes away anything they might have left for Bible study?
Well, there's a whole lot of things, and I would say first this. It's a lot of things that we might not guess. It's a lot of things that I don't think we would look at and say, oh, what a terrible thing. I believe what keeps us so distracted from God's Word many times are a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
Things that really aren't,
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we have elevated them,
mm-hmm.
higher than,
mm-hmm.
God and His Word,
yeah.
and they become bad things.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just, the list is endless. The entertainment things,
mm-hmm.
Even family things we want to do for our children and things we want. If we put anything above God and His Word, it gets all out of whack and our life doesn't make sense.
That's good. And it can be lots, like you said, lots of good stuff. You know, you and I sometimes talk about how much we love Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
And that was a great program. You know, good, innocent, wholesome, clean fun. But it's conceivable that I would spend many, many hours watching Andy Griffith and somehow never get around to doing Bible study. And there's no comparison with importance. I think sometimes we fall into this trap of the tyranny of the urgent. You know, there's so many things that seem to be demanding our attention, crying out for our attention constantly. And we know in the back of our minds, well, I need to be memorizing Scripture. I need to be studying the Bible. I need to have my quiet time with the Lord. But it's just hard to fit it in. And all this other stuff just keeps crowding it out. And like you said, not bad stuff.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. It's not that we're sitting around looking at pornography or looking at horrific movies or, you know, going to the wrong places. We're just doing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, most times it's not, you know, you don't think, well, I don't have time to do my Bible study because I really got to go rob the 7-Eleven down the street.
No,
it's
not
just bad things. It's a lot of good things we just put too high in our life.
Yeah. Reminds me of the, you remember the story in C.S. Lewis, Edmund and the White Witch, and he first appeared to her. I mean, when she appeared to him, when she came and he found her, you remember what she gave him? You remember that story?
Yeah, the Turkish Delight.
Turkish Delight, yeah. And man, you remember what happened when he started eating that Turkish Delight? He wanted more and more and more and more, and she wouldn't give him any more. And it, C.S. Lewis even says she knew that if he it was magical, and if he kept on eating it, it would finally kill him. So she didn't let him have it then. Later on, the other kids were at the Beaver's house, and they were eating good, wholesome food, and Edmund wasn't hungry. You remember that?
Yeah, And then
C.S. Lewis makes a comment, I forgot the exact wording, but he said something like, "Nothing spoils the taste of good, ordinary, healthy food as bad magic food."
Such a good line.
Isn't that a good line?
Yes.
And I think that's what Satan does to us. He says, here, try this, try this, try this, try this, and it's junk food. Not necessarily evil stuff. It's just junk food. You know, we're filling up. Maybe it's video games. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's even texting or Facebooking and all these other things that are not necessarily bad. They can even be used for God's glory.
Yes.
But we get full of that stuff, and the next thing you know, we don't have an appetite. You know, who wants to sit down and read your Bible when you can Facebook? You know?
Yeah. Well, that gets us kind of through three of the points that I was. Going for, the first being it's important to God, so it should be important to us. The second, it's how we met God in the first place, and the third, it's powerful. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why was he not ashamed of the gospel? Because he knew something.
Powerful.
He knew it was powerful. It's the power of God, he says, for salvation to everyone who believes. So it's powerful. And listen, this power cannot come from any man.
Yeah.
I think about this. I mentioned earlier 1 Corinthians 1:18. Well, 1 Corinthians 1:20, just a couple of verses later, it says this, and I love this. It says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age?" And he says, the answer is not, he's saying, the answer is not in these. It's not, the answer is not in the one who's wise, the man who thinks great things. Mm-hmm. The answer is not in the scribe, the man who writes great things. Mm-hmm. The answer is not in the debater, the man who says great things. Mm-hmm. The power, the Bible says, mm-hmm. that it is through the folly, mm-hmm. they call it folly, the mm-hmm. lost, right? It's through that folly, which mm-hmm. is preaching the word. Mm-hmm. The Word is powerful. Yeah. It is the gospel. It's the power of God.
Now let me ask you this. How many people do you think might be listening to this right now, and they're nodding their heads, and they're saying, yeah, all that's right. That's good. That's important. And yet, we kind of delude ourselves somehow, don't we? I mean, how does it happen? We say, yes, this is important. Yes, he's right. Yes, the Word is powerful. And yet, our lives don't change. I mean, what's happening here?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you didn't stop that question with, I wonder how many people are listening right now. I was going to say, I don't know, maybe one, two.
Surely we can talk Witt and Patton and Balcom into listening.
maybe. We'll try to guilt them into that as much as we can. But I think that there's a whole lot that we know is right and we know is good. But we're not putting those into practice. And I think it comes back to, I think maybe we've went over this ground. I think it comes back into, we really just don't make time for it. I think we need to make time for God's Word, because you're not going to find time.
Okay. All right. I agree. When? How do you make time? How do you do that?
Well, I guess there's really never any wrong time or bad time to read God's Word, right? I mean, unless you're driving on the interstate.
But there are better times and worse times. Do you agree?
There are. In my opinion, I would highly recommend, and I do this to my youth at church. I recommend this to the students at school. Everyone I talk to about this, about having a daily quiet time, a daily Bible reading, I highly encourage you to do that in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the morning when you get up.
Yeah.
Because I just think there are tons of reasons, mm-hmm. but one in particular is, I notice that I'll read something in the morning, mm-hmm. and there'll be something throughout my day mm-hmm. that will remind me mm-hmm. and send me back to that scripture I read, and God will speak to me about how to handle this situation because of what I've read. Mm-hmm. Now, you can that might not work for you, and you can read in the evening, but I just think the morning is better.
Well, and it also, if you do it in the morning, relating to what you just said, it gives you something to talk about through the day. I mean, today, this morning.
That's right.
You did devotions in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it just so happened that Vicki and I were in 1 Timothy chapter 2. That was kind of amazing.
That was.
But later in the morning, you had a thought about 1 Timothy 2, and you wanted to talk about it. So we had some great fellowship in the hall just talking about that verse that you were looking at in 1 Timothy 2. So that's a great reason to do it in the morning.
We sure did. I think so. I think the morning is so important. And one of the people I love to follow and listen to, have a lot of respect for, Ray Comfort, who is with the Living Waters group and does a lot with the Way of the Master. He has this thing. He also says the morning is the best time mm-hmm. for Bible study. And he has this little saying that he reminds himself and says to himself that reminds him that before he is going to even eat breakfast, mm-hmm. he's going to feed on the Word.
Right.
And he has this saying, and it's, no read, no feed.
Yeah.
No read, no feed. Just a little statement, but it reminds him, before I do start my day, I'm going to start in God's Word.
Okay, what do you say to the person who says, good grief, man, in the morning, everything's turmoil. I mean, I'm hurrying, I'm rushing, I can't remember everything, I hardly have time to eat, I get my clothes on, I brush my teeth, and I'm out the door, and man, I barely make it to school on time. I mean, what do you say to them?
I'm going to say something that may be horrific to them. Get up a little earlier.
What if they say, man, I'm not getting enough sleep the way it is. How can I get up earlier?
Yeah. I know this is hard, and I know this doesn't come natural, but we've got to turn off the TV. We've got to get off the internet, get off Facebook, Twitter, whatever we're on. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to make it a point that we're going to get off that stuff so we can get that extra sleep mm-hmm. so that we can dedicate ourselves mm-hmm. to getting up. It has to be intentional. It has to be planned.
Yeah. So the key really is to back up to the night before and say, I've got to make a plan to get in bed just a little bit earlier so I can get the sleep I need so that I can get up early in the morning and start my day off at a good pace with the Lord.
I think so. And mm-hmm. isn't that really all kinds of discipline? Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah.
You don't just get discipled. Mm-hmm. You plan to be disciplined.
Yep. And you know, when I think about going to bed earlier, I think about kids especially. You know, it's almost like a badge of honor that I'm old enough now to stay up late.
Yeah.
And they don't realize, young people especially, that their bodies probably need rest more right now in their late teens and early 20s than any other time in their life. And it's tough, and especially if your friends are staying up late and you say, well, I'm going to bed. They, what? You're going to bed at 9 o'clock? Come on, man. You know, this is crazy. So it's a big obstacle. And again, it's the enemy resisting that because he wants us to start our morning hectic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and he wants the whole day to be that way.
Yeah. And I tell you, I'm with you 100%. I mean, the Lord taught me a long time ago that I have to do that. I have to go to bed early, get up early, start my day with him. And by doing that, I get focused on the Lord. I get His Word in my heart and mind, and it's just amazing how much better the day goes. It's just. Plus the fact that if you wait till after school and the evening, and like you said at the beginning, better then than not at all. You know, but when you wait, there are just so many things in the day that will interfere. Things come up. You know, well, you got to go to the game. Well, you got to go with your family somewhere. Well, you got to go to church or whatever it might be. And all this stuff gets in the way. Somebody comes over, somebody calls you, but in the morning, there are not many interruptions.
No. And I believe one of the reasons that why that is an effective model is I believe it's modeled after Christ.
Yeah,
if you look in, I believe it's Mark chapter 1, verse 35, I love this mm-hmm. verse. And it's what Jesus did. It's His quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
It says something to effect. I might get the words exactly right, but it says that Jesus rose up, or rising up, a great while before day.
A great while before day. That's exactly what it says.
In order for Him to rise up a great while before day, He had to plan that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just mm-hmm. happen to do that normally.
Right.
And He rose up a great while before day. And then the Bible says that He went to a solitary place mm-hmm. or a desolate place.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, He got distractions out mm-hmm. there. He got in the quiet of the morning, mm-hmm. away from all the distractions. Mm-hmm. And then it says, and there He prayed.
And set us an example.
Yes.
And set us an example.
I think that's why the morning works the best.
Well, I have loved this conversation. I don't know. You may have some other things you want to add before we wrap it up. But
well, I do have three more, okay. If you wouldn't mind.
Yeah,
we'll go through
sure.
these. Mm-hmm. The next one of why I think Bible study is important is it's how we know God more deeply, more intimately. Mm-hmm. Not just how we met Him. It was definitely that. But it's how we know Him deeper, and it's such a schoolmaster for us. Mm-hmm. It's such a teacher. I want to share this verse, and then I want to share quickly what Adrian Rogers said that I heard a long time ago that will stick with me for the rest of my life. It is an awesome verse and an awesome comment about it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Such a great verse. We need to memorize this verse, and we need to know what this verse is talking about. It says this: all Scripture is breathed out by God. Mm-hmm. It's breathed out by God, straight from the lips of God. Mm-hmm. And it's good for these things, it says. It's profitable for, number one, teaching. So, in other words, it is good to show us what is right. Adrian Rogers said, the Bible teaches us, number one, what is right. And then it says that it's good for reproof. Well, in other words, reproof is showing you what's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible, this is so cool. The Bible will show you what's right, and the Bible will show you what's not right. Then the verse goes on and says that it's profitable for correction, mm-hmm. and it's profitable for training in righteousness. So what's that mean? How cool is this? The Bible not only shows you what's right, it not only shows you what's not right, but it's good for correction. It shows you how to get right, to correct yourself. And then training in righteousness, it's good and profitable to show you how to stay right. Sanctification, growing in Him.
Yeah.
And then it says after that, in that next verse, it says that the man of God, or the woman, mm-hmm. the man of God may be competent, and get this, I love this word, equipped.
Mm-hmm.
Equipped for every good work. That's what my mission in life really is as a youth pastor. I want to do everything that I can to equip my students to know Him deeper. And the only way I can do that is Scripture. Keep them in the Word. And how cool is this? That verse 16 started out with, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Verse 17 says, it's to equip man.
Mm.
So that word came from the innermost being of God, right?
Mm.
And it goes to the innermost being of man. What more beautiful picture of intimacy
mm-hmm.
and love is that?
Yeah.
That's what the word's all about. So it's how we know God deeper and more intimately.
Yeah, it's good.
And then the next point is, it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some dead, stale, old book.
Right.
Some dusty thing on a shelf. It is alive. Hebrews 4:12. You know this scripture. It says, for the word of God is living.
Yeah.
And it's active. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah. And that reminds me of I think some people may be listening to us who are kind of thinking, well, I tried it one time and it didn't seem to work for me. You know, And of course, that gets back to the fact that it's often a long-range
yes.
project of God working in us.
Right.
But the Scripture, if my wife and I were separated by 1,000 miles and had to be separated apart for a while, and she wrote me letters, this is more effective in the old days when letters were the way people communicated,
yeah.
but she wrote me letters, and we didn't have cell phones or anything like that. Well, when I got a letter from her, I'd be so excited about
yeah.
it, and I would read it probably multiple times, even though it's just a human letter. And God's letter to us, God's Word, is so deep and so living, as you pointed out, and so powerful that you read it, and then you read it again, and you read it again, and God keeps speaking
exactly.
fresh through that over and over and over and giving you insights you didn't see before, and it just never ends. It's amazing.
How many times have you read a scripture that you know you've read that passage multiple times in your life, but you get something totally new you'd never seen before?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's alive.
Yes.
It's not because you're alive. It's because it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's powerful. God grows us in different ways as we stay in His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And as we grow, He matures us to get something new,
yep.
to show us something new.
Yep. Yep.
I love, and I'm going to put a plug in right here, and I know you're going to back me on this one. You're going to plug it too.
Mm-hmm.
If you have children, I highly recommend that you get the book, the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's by Sally Lloyd-Jones, and it is so good. And awesome. here's why I love it, is all through Scripture and every Bible story, it points to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this book is keyed on that. That's why the Word is alive, because everything in it points to the Savior. Mm-hmm. And there is a subtitle on that book. It's love a little tagline, and I love it. It's awesome, and it says, "Every story whispers His name." Mm-hmm. It's all about Jesus.
And she does a great job of showing that all the way through. Now, what you're beginning to do right now is get into the topic of how do we do it well, you know, and that's a great idea. But I think we may need to save some of that for a future podcast.
There's
a lot more we could say.
And I hope, and by the way, I am loving this, and I hope that we do, God allows us to do quite a few of these. If nothing else, if it's just us listening to it later, it's going to be good for me.
Me too, brother.
Good reminders and insight. I have one last thing that
I
want to share.
Twist a few arms. Yes,
oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one last thing I want to share. The Bible is not only alive, but it's eternal. Mm-hmm. It's eternal. Why is Bible study important? Well, because the Word of God is eternal. It's going to be around forever.
It's true.
Isaiah 40, verse 8 is an awesome verse attesting to that fact. It says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever." And and the Word, I was thinking about this today, and I shared a little about this with you earlier. I've kind of summed it up in my little brain of four categories, of four things that will last forever. I mean, there's a select company, of limited company. There's a lot of things that are going to last forever.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff won't last very long.
Right, exactly. And a lot of things we think are really important won't last very long at all. But there are four things that are important that will last forever. Number one, first and foremost, God. God and everything that God is, right? His love, His peace, His mercy, His power. God will last. He's eternal. Number two, His kingdom. All the angelic beings, all the heavenly creatures, His saints. God's kingdom, the church, it lasts forever. The third thing, human souls. You know, either in heaven or in hell, eternal. They're going to last forever. It's an eternal thing, human souls. And then the fourth thing is the Word. So, the Word made the big four.
That's good.
Only four things. So, That should fire us up.
And it
fires me up.
It's amazing how we get so wrapped up in stuff that when we look at it in eternity, we're going to say, "What on earth was I thinking?" You know, I mean, that just like bang, it's gone. And now we got an eternity. And why on earth didn't I spend more time doing the stuff that really would count in eternity? I mean, I think it'll be a lot of regrets.
Yeah, can you look back on your life already and see things you were wrapped up in at one time?
Yeah.
And think, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That was not that important in the grand scheme of things.
So is that your final point?
Yeah, that's my, you know, we can go on and on. You've tried to shut me up many times. I'm sorry.
Well, that's good stuff, brother. I'm glad you shared it. And I just hope and pray, and I want you to lead us in prayer in just a second, but I just pray that somebody listening to this will say, you know what, I need to get more serious about this. Those are good reasons. I need to ask God maybe to give me that hunger that I don't have right now, to give me that appetite. My grandpa Payne, who died when he was 97 years old in 1987, but he kind of helped raise me. He's the one that led me to the Lord. And he used to talk about, when I'd come to the table, I'd say, "Well, I'm not very hungry." He'd say, "Well, start eating. You may eat with a coming appetite." And I think that works for Scripture, too. You know, we can say, "Well, I don't really feel like studying the Bible." And you sit down and you say, "I'm going to eat anyway." And you start eating, and all of a sudden your appetite starts to pick up. It works. God does that.
And I think that would lead in really nicely to possibly the next session that we get to, talking about how to develop a hunger for God's Word.
Yeah, and just how to do it. You know, there may be a lot of people out there who just don't know. How do you do it? What kind of ways? What can I do to make it more interesting, more exciting? What can I? And God's got all kinds of ways out there that we can get into His Word that's really exciting. But we need to save that for another day. We really do. You want to lead us in prayer?
I would love to. Father, we thank You. God, we are in awe of You right now.
Yes, we are.
Lord, You know that Steve and I had no idea how this session was going to go, being our first one together. But God, I just want to thank You for how You have been mighty in this conversation.
Thank You.
And You have just showed us where You want us to go, and You have carried this conversation. And Lord, we just pray that we would always be serious about hearing from you.
Mm.
And God, help us to realize that Bible study, personal, effective Bible study, should be important to us because your word is important.
Yes.
And it's important to you.
Mm.
And God, help us to be concerned with what you're concerned with.
Yes.
Lord, help us to not be all about what everyone else or what society would tell us that we need to be devoted to.
Mm.
But God, help us to be devoted to you and your word. Yes. And I just pray for the who might be listening right now, God, that they would be challenged, they would be encouraged, and there would be a fire lit under their soul that they would desire and they would put into practice the discipline of getting a daily, effective Bible study in their life.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord, for this time.
Mm.
And God, I pray that there are many more like this. Thank you for my dear brother in the Lord, Steve. Mm. Thank you for what he means to me.
Mm.
Thank you for how he has helped me so many times in my walk with you. And he continues to do that. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of fellowship in your name. It's in Jesus, our Savior's name, that we do pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff, brother. Looking forward to next time.
Me too.